All right, 303, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Two brutal losses for our Yanks and Mets. The Mets are just getting outclassed by the Dodgers. There's no other way to say it. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. I mean, 10-2 last night. They've given up a ton of runs. They can't slow down this offense. Max Muncy's breaking records for most consecutive at-bats getting on base. Ohtani's hit home runs in back-to-back games. Mookie Betts, who's really struggled in the postseason the last couple of years, has broken out four hits, including a two-run home run in this game last night. And, you know, it's just, and the Mets continue to struggle. I mean, this offense, and again, that's why, you know, I disagreed with the caller who first called in, because that's how they've been winning, is with their offense. I think I look at this series, and listen, I expect Peterson to go out there and pitch fairly well. He's been their second-best starting pitcher, and I think it's the right move. And that's really after the first hour of complaining. We could still complain about last night, but move forward, because these teams are playing a game today, and the Mets have their lives on the line. And for me, I think it's the offense. I mean, yeah, I hope Peterson does a pretty good job, but it's tough to, you know, it's tough to hold down this lineup. It's tough to hold down this lineup. And what they do is score runs. That's what this Met team has done all year. Their starting pitching has been great. Don't get me wrong. It's the best ERA since June. Manaea has been a godsend. Peterson's been just, as you know, the second best pitcher. Severino's had a nice year. Quintana had an unbelievable September. But, and now the bullpen seems taxed, right? The guys who were doing it for you all year, Maton and Buto, have not been good. You're kind of looking at Stanek right now as the other guy with Diaz. It's just, I don't know how you hold this Dodger team down when they're swinging the bats like this. And you're getting Kiki Hernandez hot, as well as the Betts and the Ohtani. And you're getting Edmonds with big hits. Like, it's not easy. That's what Peterson's going to be tasked with. But you got to figure out a way to score runs against this Dodger team. This offense has got to do better than coming up with nothing. With runners and with bases loaded, one out, bases loaded, nobody out. I mean, they get one run. The one run they get with the bases loaded, or, you know, the big is Nimmo busting his ass, even with the foot injury, to beat out a double play that scored a run. I mean, that's it. That's not going to get it done against this team. They've got to figure out a way to score runs. And look, you know, I'm surprised. I think Winker has to play. There's no doubt about it. J.D. Martinez, while, again, he's had, what, four walks in the last two games, it's hard to just point at him and go, he's the reason, but he's not driving the baseball. I mean, you got to figure out a way to get Winker in this game, even if it's, you know, not at DH, whatever the case may be. But their season's on the line. They got to come up with some kind of answers, and the Yankees, still with a lead, trying to make sure that momentum isn't built for this Cleveland team and that they can figure out a way. And listen, it all relies on the arm of Luis Gil, who hasn't pitched in a long time. Now, again, they're throwing pitchers who stink. I mean, that's, you know, the starting pitching matchup still favors the Yankees today. And momentum is only as good as your next day starting pitcher. The Yankees need to go out there and take this game and figure out a way to go up 3-1 and get back to the World Series. They were right there. And we'll see about the lineup. I don't know what they're going to do. I would think, you know, there are questions there about Rizzo. I think you would, for me, I would play Rizzo still. You put Wells back in the lineup, even though he looks terrible offensively. I just think, you know, Trevino was run on. I think some of the stolen bases, some of them were really just off of the pitcher, though. I mean, the one of Meza, especially. Meza took 3 years to get the ball home. Now, the throws weren't any good, especially at third. He did have the one throw where he almost threw out Ramirez trying to steal second. He was this close, Trevino. But the throws at third, when they stole third twice, both of them almost went out into the outfield. Jazz had to make good plays on both of them. But I don't think it's just on him. But the way Wells has played defensively, he gives you a chance to throw runners out. Plus, he's been pretty good blocking balls in the dirt. Even slumping, I think you got to go back to Wells. I would probably go back to Rizzo. I think I do, with the dynamic of the two of them back to back, I think I keep Stanton in the four spot behind Judge. But I'm moving Wells well down the line. But it's this offense, the advantage going into the series, the number one advantage, was how lousy the starting pitching of this Cleveland Guardians team is. That's the biggest advantage. The Yankees have to go out there later today and take advantage of the biggest advantage. You understand? Rob in Staten Island. What's up, Rob?
How you doing, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Pretty good, even though it's a Mets loss. I want to get to Mendoza and some of the stuff that really made my head scratch today.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. He's done a great job. He's done a great job this year, considering his first year and taking a team that was not supposed to do anything.
Right.
To this point, it's been all good. And granted, the Dodgers are a great team. Why is Nimmo's playing with a foot injury is beyond my imagination.
Yeah.
If nothing, you mentioned Wayne. He should be playing tomorrow. Maybe you can get DH, like Acuna or somebody else off the bench. Just get somebody fresh in there. And I want your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of been such a big part of the team that I think they wanted to try and give him an opportunity. And look, he's been able, although he's hobbled, when it's time to turn it on, I'm sure it causes him pain, but he did beat out that ground ball. He's been able. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
So I give him credit. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to giving him a day and playing Winker out there or figuring something out. Yeah, I don't think it's crazy to get him out of line because he's clearly hobbled. He's clearly in pain. And offensively, he struggled. He did get a base hit the other day. He did beat out this double play. Like, he's shown some spunk here, but you probably got to try and do something because this. I would look to tweak the offense a little bit because it's been so bad. You need a spark. You got to figure something out.
Yeah, that's why I think if you put someone like Acuna in, because I don't know why he hasn't been playing. I mean, I know he hasn't been starting, but just to get him off the bench as a runner and he has shown he can show a little pop. I know he wasn't there that long, but he showed the last week before the Atlanta series. He can drive the ball. And of course, and obviously the bullpen is just so taxed now, and who knows? And if they win tomorrow, great. If not, it's been a great year either way. So,
yeah, I mean, look, this. I hate this. It's been a good year either way. Like, I do. Eventually, you can say that. I don't know how you say it now. I guess you've already resigned yourself to the loss. So you're a day in. I wouldn't resign myself to the loss. This is not the time to give up, Mets fans. It really isn't. It's not the time to give up. You win one game, things can change. One game, things can change. You got to win two games at home. I mean, one game at home here. You win one game at home, and you figure out a way to make them nervous heading back to L.A. Make them get on that plane. Make them get a little nervous. Figure out a way. To me, it's scoring runs. I know. Listen, I'm not saying Peterson can't pitch well. This lineup is so good right now. It is so good right now that it's hard for me to fathom they're going to completely shut them down. The Mets are going to have to score 6-7 runs in this game. They have to find a way to do it. They have to find a way to break through. Because honestly, if you watch these games for me, it seems a hell of a lot more plausible that they come through with the base hit, with the bases loaded. Because they had bases loaded, nobody out. You get the strikeout from Iglesias. You get the pop, the fly ball that's not deep enough. Like, you can't. And then Winker hits one that you thought off the bat might have been gone, but you just, any of those things, you know, you get a base hit down the line from Iglesias and suddenly you have a big inning. Like, they have set themselves up for the possibility of having big innings against this team that, honestly, like, I know their bullpen's been great and they had this long stretch of scoreless innings and all that. I still think I could see the Mets offense pounding out runs more than I could see this Met pitching staff holding down this Dodger team. Not with Ohtani getting hot, not with Mookie Betts getting hot. Like, I just don't see it. They're going to have to score some runs. Mello in Orange County. What's up, Mello?
Hey, C-Mac. Thanks for taking my call, man.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
So I think we're overlooking a few things here. The Yankees, right, we can't give a team like the Detroit Tigers life the way we did today, right? So losers make excuses and winners make plays.
Cleveland Guardians.
And the Guardians made the plays.
Yeah.
The Guardians made the plays today. The problem here that we're overlooking is the last two times we've seen Weaver, he's given up a bomb to Ramirez and today a two-run bomb to tie the game.
Yeah.
There's a problem here. They're reminding me of the 2010s Detroit Tigers, where we can't beat the Doug Fisters of the world. So tomorrow we're pitching Hale against Williams. Williams, we don't know. But Hill hasn't pitched in 3 weeks.
Neither has Williams. Williams hasn't pitched in September 22nd.
So here's my thing, is mm-hmm. that the unknown for us, it just seems to always shut us down in the playoffs. We've seen this movie before, and now we gave them life today. We had a chance to put our legs on their throat, our feet on their throat today, and we did not do it.
No.
Our relievers, bad Clay showed up today again. You know, that middle of the season, Clay, who was blowing saves left and right, he showed up today in the 10th inning. Which is unbelievable.
He's been their best pitcher. Like, he's been their best pitcher for this entire run here in the postseason.
When they took the pressure off of him.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
What do you mean? He's pitching the middle innings.
You think there's no pressure with the tying run on? Oh, stop! You think there's no pressure there in the tying in the sixth inning when they bring out Cole or whoever they brought out, and you're facing the runner up MVP with the runner on third base and the tying run on third base? There's pressure in these moments. He's gotten the biggest outs of the games with the game on the line. It's like he's been brought into the sixth inning with a 4-run lead. He's got the tying run on base. He's been brought in with. He's the one guy hasn't been given a clean inning. I think this 10th inning might be the first clean inning Clay Holmes has been given. Every time he comes in, it's the 5th and 6th or the 4th and 5th when the starting pitcher has left runners on. Like, I'm sorry. That's absolutely nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. The guy has absolutely been given clutch situations, and he's come through. This game, yes, he gave up the home run late. The Yankees... You know, when they get to that point, now your line's making some noise. I'm going to let you go. Thank you for the call. They're in a tough spot, and they're in extra innings of a tie game there. And I'm not trying to get it. He made a bad pitch. He gave up a home run. Totally true. But I'm sorry. I can't get on Clay after being the best pitcher of the entire staff for the first 7 games of the postseason. If it happens again, it happens again. Then it becomes a thing. I'm sure no one wants to just forget about Weaver, and you just said it. He gave up home runs back-to-back days. Well, this is not about Clay Holmes. He didn't blow the game. He didn't. Weaver blew the game. After Clay Holmes, who are they going to? Let's be honest. They needed to score right then and there. What they needed was to score more than one run in the ninth. They have second and third, nobody out. They needed both of those runs to score. That's what they needed. And then in the 10th, Volpe's got to come through with that base hit. Because honestly, once you get through Clay Holmes, where are they going? Stroman? Cousins? Like, they're not going to win that game. This game is not on Clay Holmes. And don't give me, oh, they finally put him in a pressure situation. Nonsense. He's been in many pressure situations. The game's on the line when he comes in every time. Rico in L.A. What's up, Rico?
Hey, how's it be living in L.A. being a Mets fan? I'm surrounded by these guys who have a baseball IQ that's only matched by their emotional IQ. While they go watch a team between traffic jams and red carpets, you know, now they're all coming all back to the Dodgers, you know. But I tell you, I mean, great. I don't want to say, hey, we had a great run, whatever. I mean, I made a future bet on the Mets. Back in March, I got 20-1 that they win the pennant.
Okay,
and I was in Vegas and I could have hedged and bet half on the Dodgers to take the series. At least I walk away with a few thousand. Right. I can't do it. I'm too much of a Mets fan to do that. But I tell you, I mean, you want to see if they're going to go down. At least let them go down with Alonso hitting the ball and not looking clueless. Like this kid, like
I still get him out
with pitches.
Yeah, no. I've been talking about Alonso's at bats. I didn't notice it as much in this game, but he's been looking strictly outside. He has not been looking to pull the ball. He's looking to extend his arms and hit it the other way. Although he did just miss a home run the other day, pulling the ball down to left field. But like, yeah, I haven't loved his at bats. Let's be honest. As great as he's been and gotten them here, other than the leadoff home run in game two, Lindor has done nothing in the series.
That's right.
Lindor's done nothing. I mean, and again, you can't get on him. You can't kill him because he's been so freaking good for them, but he's done nothing in the series. He's done nothing. Pete's done nothing. Vientos is the only one who's done anything. Iglesias has been bad. Big strikeout in this game with the bases loaded. We all know what Alvarez has been doing. JD Martinez has done nothing. Taylor made a great catch. Offensively, not doing much. Nimmo, not doing much. Like, nobody, I mean, they're getting their doors blown off. Like, I wish I had, and I'm sure there's a Met fan out there listening to me right now and going, the Yankee shill is spending all the time in the New York Yankees. I hear you, and you want to call me up? Call me up. Let's talk about the ins and outs of the games, but there's no one particular thing. There are moments in that Yankee game you can point to and say, this is where they made a mistake. This is where they blew it. They could have done this. They could have done that. Like, other than saying you got to come through with the bases loaded and nobody out, like, you want to say who they went to, that they went to Maton in a spot you don't trust Maton in? Who do you trust in this Met bullpen? Who should they go to? Maton is their guy. He's been their guy. If he's not going to do it, they're not going to do it. Buto has been their weapon. If he's not going to pitch well, they're not going to win. There's no way avoiding those guys in big moments. Those are your guys. You want to say Stanek deserves more, but then it's Stanek and Diaz like that. You got to trust Maton. You got to trust Buto. The Mets have just gotten their doors blown. It's plain and simple. One team has kicked the crap out of the other one. And that's not to say that that's the way it's going to go the rest of the series. I think the Mets can turn it around. I honestly believe if they all it takes, listen, we don't have to go through, maybe they should show the videos of the 04 Red Sox. All it takes is one game to change the complete series. That's all it takes. They figure out a way to win today, force that plane ride back. Anything can happen. And then if you ever get to a game seven, then all the pressure's on the Dodgers. The Mets are back to being loosey-goosey now. They're supposed to lose. They're down 3-1. It's over. It's over. They can't win. You can't win! Which leads to the best montage scene of all time. There's no easy way out. That's Mendoza driving home right now. Mendoza's driving home right now. The series flashing before his eyes. Ivan Drago, the whole bit. Frank the Tank standing at the top of the stairs telling me can't win. That's what Carlos Mendoza's dealing with right now. But all it takes is one game. Go out there, Peterson, pitch well, score enough runs, fly back to LA and see what happens. Maybe they get cold on the plane. I don't know, but right now, they got to figure out a way to get offense because I don't know. Watching this Dodger team right now and trying to prep, so, you know, I still think the Yankees are going to the World Series. I'm never going to tell you they like are for sure. They got to win these freaking games, and they had an opportunity to make me feel a hell of a lot better than I do right now. But watching it, scouting it, I mean, their offense looks devastating. Otani at the top, followed by Betts, who's on fire. Like, I just don't know if Peterson can shut them down. Maybe he can. I think they're going to have to score. It's on the offense. It's been on the offense all year. It's on the offense later today. Paul in Hartford. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I mean, I know the offense is with the Mets is the obvious story here. But the one thing is that I just can't get over is, even in tight games, they have gotten nothing out of Buto or Maton this whole postseason. Not just this series.
No, you're right. You're right. The whole postseason, Buto and Maton have not been good.
Nothing. Every time Mendy goes to them, he doesn't get anything. They keep surviving series to series to this point.
Yep.
And every time he puts them in, they don't show up. So all these teams have bullpens, and then they blame their bullpen, or the bullpen's great, or it's bad. With the Mets, they're surviving without their guy.
No.
Now, the next couple of days, they've got to go Peterson, get the ball to Manaea on Sunday somehow. Reed Garrett's been actually somewhat decent, and
right.
Then you got to get the ball to Diaz. The one great story about Peterson is, and I got to bring this up now tonight, that's a guy who lost his dad at age 9, not to get sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
He's pitched. He's battled his whole life. They say he pitches with ice in his veins. He's come over ever since he came through this injury, and we all thought maybe he wasn't going to be a great pitcher in New York. He came through this injury in August and September. The guy's been great. And you know what? There's nobody who deserves a start more with the season on the line than him tomorrow. And thank God he's getting the ball, because you know what? He deserves it, Chris.
I've been saying this from the beginning. I thought he deserved game one of the series if they weren't going to pitch Manaea, if they were concerned about giving these guys extra days. I thought he should have pitched game one against Philadelphia. Like, this Met team, so much about this year has been about holding guys accountable and giving people what they've earned. Like, that's what this team is. That's like, that's what we've all appreciated about Mendoza and this group. And with no fault of his own, Kodai Senga has been hurt and he hasn't earned anything.
Like, and one question for you, though.
Even McGill earned it.
100%. At least McGill, they used him in the right way, though, the last couple days, just to eat up innings. Yeah. But Peterson deserves a start.
Yeah, no doubt.
One question for you. This is my one question, though. Thanks for letting me speak a little longer. My question for you, Chris, is, do you think the last couple days, though, he's gone a little bit, I don't know where the calls are coming from, up top or with Mendy, do you think they're going a little bit too much with their gut with the lineup? Or do you think, you know, like, Winker should have started today?
Yeah, I mean, no, listen, I mean, it's not so much, like, when you say the gut, they haven't been going with their gut. I mean, maybe it's Mendoza's gut, but it's the numbers. He went with reverse splits. That's it. That's it. Yamamoto had reverse splits. He was tougher on lefties than he is right-handed pitchers. That's it. It wasn't a gut feel. I mean, it could have been a gut feel, I suppose, but it was the numbers. The numbers said play right-handed hitters. That he's got reverse splits instead of the gut of watching what you're watching and seeing that, you know, although he's not in the 0-for-35 or whatever it was, JD Martinez hasn't impacted the baseball very much. And Winker, even in his one at bat, damn near hit a grand slam. Winker needs to be in the lineup tomorrow, later today. There's no doubt. I don't care, lefty, righty, I don't care. He's giving you better at-bats. Their life is on the line. You got to play. So when you say, do you think they've been going too much with their gut? You think because JD Martinez is the veteran, he's helped out Vientos, he's considered another coach on the field, the team loves him, you know, that it's been some sort of gut play. But it's not. It's the numbers. He came out yesterday and told you. The reverse splits, those are the words out of his mouth. Who's going to, you know, I don't anticipate many lineup changes. I'm probably going to have my right-handers out there, the reverse splits of Yamamoto. It's not a hunch. It's not the gut. It's not what we've seen. It's the numbers. Tom in Middletown. What's up, Tom?
Hey, C-Mac. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
I couldn't agree with you more about the ninth inning, which second and third, one out, or no one out. You have to get both of those runs in.
Have to.
You have to get. I was happy to get the one run to be up by two, you know, going to Weaver. And then a couple callers ago, the guy.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
A couple callers ago, the guy blaming Holmes. Like you said, he's been our best pitcher. I mean, listen, we had a meltdown tonight. It's going to happen. I still believe in him. I think, you know, it's a big turnaround, though, being up 3-0 to 2-1.
No doubt. It's a world of difference. And, yeah, like, again, now, they made plays, too. Like, that Jimenez play in the 10th that, I mean, Chisholm hits that ground ball over the first baseman's head. That's a big inning there waiting to happen. That's
huge,
a big inning. That's an enormous play. So
agree with you again.
I mean, they made good plays, and I agree with you. In the ninth, you got to figure out a way. That Wells at bat bothers me. Wells can't even get the ball in the air. If Wells did the same thing that Glaber did, they have two runs on sacrifice flies because they were able to move over to second base as well. Verdugo got over to third on that fly ball. So if Wells does it, then you have the run score. Verdugo moves over to third, and then you have Gleyber Torres with a runner at third and one out. You got to get both of those guys in. Now, did I think one was enough? Yeah. I said to myself, listen, you get both of them. You need both of them. But then when I went to, once they only got one, did I say to myself, all right, they got one. It's okay. That's all they needed. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought. I thought it was going to be enough. And they were one strike away. I mean, listen, and how smooth was Weaver turning that double play. Like, I mean, that was just, he put his glove down, he turned around. I mean, I would have been surprised if Naylor had two steps out of the box by the time that ball was at second base. Like, Weaver did it. I was like, man, that double play, we won the game. I thought for sure. And my son, and like I said, this was the first time. My son still, we sat there, we watched a lot of the game. He didn't watch every second. Him and his brother were off playing a little bit. I couldn't get him to sit there and watch every second of the game. We're still not there. But he was with me at the end. He came and sat down with me. He goes, they're going to lose. I'm like, yes, they're probably going to lose. But we'll see. And bounce back. It's never over. And then Judge hit that home run, and we both went nuts. We woke up the whole house. We woke up his little brother. You know, we were all screaming, especially my wife was upstairs, and she got mad at me because I was saying, get up, with the Judge home run. I'm like, get up, get up, get up. And she's like, I thought there was something wrong with Tommy, and he couldn't get up. You thought he was passed out or something. I'm like, no, I'm yelling at the ball. So she comes downstairs yelling at me. My son wakes up crying because he got scared because we were screaming. But me and Tommy were jumping up and down, screaming, high-fiving. And now that moment's ruined. And that's why Tommy was so upset. When they lost, when they gave up that home run, he was just beside himself. It almost made it easier for me because I had to calm him down. I'm like, it's all right, man. It's one game. They still have a 2-1 lead. I was able to talk myself down from the moment by having to talk to my son about it. Because they are not good with losing. They're just not. And when I say they, I don't necessarily mean all children. I think a lot of them have a problem with it. But my son in particular, the two of them, they battle each other. You can't play a game in my house. Can't play a single game in my house because the loser is upset. The loser ain't happy. So that I got to help them learn how to lose. Maybe, you know, hopefully they don't have to lose it too. They don't have to learn too much of a lesson right here with the Yankees. But trying to calm him down and get him back to bed after that Noel home run was tough. It's tough. But it helped me, like, able to, like, kind of talk myself into, hey, they're fine. Everything's okay. Because in the moment, I'm not okay. And everything is not fine. I mean, I almost Hulk Hogan ripped my shirt off. Because you just get, like, I have a little bit of the Frank the Tank thing. Like, he has to bite onto something. I kind of grab my shirt by the collar and just start tugging at it. Like, when I'm... But, hey, playoff baseball's fun, isn't it? It's better than being home. It's better than talking about the New York Giants. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls all the way to 5 right here on The Fan. All right, 3:36. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Disappointing night for our baseball teams. You know what, Manny, I still haven't heard the Stanton home run. Because these were enormous home runs. I mean, these are just... I feel bad. We can't just bury them. I can't do it. In fact, get them both. Let's go through the misery of it. I can't just ignore them. They were too big. The moments were too big. Going up against Class A was too good. And you know what? Ultimately, I talk about this a lot. I know it's about championships, and I want that parade, and I want to know what it feels. I want that feeling of ultimately being the best and being the champion and winning. But you got to be there for the ride, too. Because I'll tell you right now, that home run was absolute joy. It was pure joy. Me and my son jumping up together in the living room, pure joy. And I don't want to diminish it by the idea that they lost the game. I mean, I know there's no way around that, but I'm going to try my best to lie to myself and say that that moment's still special no matter how the game ended. So let's hear both of these home runs. You can just play them back to back. John Sterling on the call right here on The Fan of the Yankees getting off the deck and hitting back-to-back home runs off the best closer in baseball to give them the lead in the eighth inning.
And the 1-2 swung on and drilled to right field. That ball is going to be gone. It was a line drive, and it went over the right field fence. It's a Judgian blast. The Yankee dugout goes nuts. They're all on the field. A two-run home run to tie the game the opposite way. The Judgian blast. And all rise. Here comes the Judge. 1-2. Swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Stanton and Judge have hit home runs, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, and the Yankees take the lead. Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo. He homers, and he and Judge hit him back-to-back, and the Yankees now take a 4-3 lead.
I mean, that moment, Oh, that moment. Watching that line drive. And listen, Judge had bad at-bats. Judge's first at-bat of the game, really, you know, after the home run at the end of game two, you thought maybe he was building something. That first at-bat against Boyd, oof, it was awful. It was awful. And I was worried about him. I'm not, like, overly worried about him, but I thought he was building something, and then to have that at-bat, I was like, geez, that's not what you want. And then to have that moment, that home run off Class A, with two strikes, no less, to take that outside fastball and send it over the right field fence, that was an enormous home run. And then followed up by Stanton, who hits the slider. I mean, we were so... I can't even talk about it. We were so
emotional.
Yeah, and I'm getting emotional. We were so close to having just that. We were so close to having an unbelievable night. We were so close to having an unbelievable night. That would have been, oh my God. Up 3-0, feeling like you've already won. You're on your way to the World Series. Because listen, now it's a series. Right? Now it's a series. This is now a legitimate, like, I want to believe it's going to be the gentleman's sweep and that the Yankees win the next two games, but right now it is a series. They have momentum. They feel like they can get to the Yankees' bullpen, and they clearly can. Their guys have come through. I would imagine, and, you know, I would imagine that Fry, who's given them much better at-bats, I know, you know, Manzardo hits the home run early on in the game against Clark, but, I mean, you've got to figure out a way to put Fry into this game. And Noel, too, after that home run. I mean, I know Luis Hill's a right-handed pitcher, but none of these guys are hitting. We'll see what the Guardians do. We'll see what the Yankees do with their lineup. Against a below-average pitcher, was he 2-10 this year with a 5 ERA? Like, this is a guy you got to go pound. That's going to be the key to this game for the New York Yankees. The offense has got to score early. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Yeah, we should have been. I don't know. The bullpen, like, I think they've been used a lot lately.
They have been.
With all the innings they've been pitching. And eventually it's going to catch up to you. Eventually. And it caught up last night. Let's hope it doesn't continue in this direction. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can do the gentleman's sweep like you just said.
Right.
And away we go. I mean, the Mets, like you said, they've been overmatched with this Dodger team. I mean, even the Dodger pitchers have been pitching better than they have later in the season. So I don't know. You think the Mets can come back? Or
yeah, I mean, listen, I think the Mets can come back, Stu. Of course, the series isn't over at 3-1. I mean, we could say it is if you want. I mean, most likely, sure. If I had to, you know. If I had to bet my life on it, yeah, the Dodgers are going to win the series. But, again, all it takes is one game. Now, here's the issue. They've been completely outclassed. Like, we went into this thing. I went into the series saying that the Mets were every bit as good. Because, listen, they struggled against... They were down 2-1 against San Diego. And that's when they started, you know, this run of putting up zeros with their bullpen, really. With these openers and, you know, bullpen games. And I headed into this series thinking, you know, the lineup's fairly cold. Ohtani had done, you know, really nothing besides the 3-run home run in game one. He hadn't done much in the series. Betts had been cold to start that series. Freddie Freeman's hobbled out there. And I thought, this is an opportunity. The Mets are just as good right now. It felt like going into that series the way they dominated Philadelphia, that they were just as good. And what we're finding out through four games at least, that they are not just as good. That the Dodgers, the team, the super team, the team that went out and spent $500 million in the offseason, or more than that, $1 billion in the offseason, is better by a lot. They have kicked the tar. These last two nights have been embarrassing at Citi Field. So they have to flip the script, but it's always possible. And all it takes is one game. But Peterson is obviously an enormous factor in starting the game, which I think is the right thing to do. Hopefully Peterson can come through. And this offense has got to wake up. Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac, how are you? Can I interrupt, bud?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good. It was funny. I tweeted you quick, like right after both those home runs. I'm like, C-Mac, was that you? I think I hear you yelling, screaming from upstate.
Yeah,
after I figured you were.
You definitely could have.
Yeah. Yeah, Mets are totally outclassed right now. You know, I'm a huge Mets fan, but the problem is, like, and the only reason why I thought that they would match up at the beginning of the series was because of the starters. But if you look at it, like, all the guys that are hurt on the team, this team alone in general has great starters, and they're what do you call it? And there's no holes in that lineup other than Lux. Everybody else, like, they had Muncy today was batting sixth or seventh, I forget, and yesterday's batting fourth. They could everybody's interchangeable. They have Kiki Hernandez on the bench, who's like fantastic. It's crazy. Like, they're so outclassed. I literally think they're going to go all the way with the Dodgers this year. Like,
they're one game away from making it to the World Series, and they've had better years than both American League teams right now. And it's more than reasonable to say, Mike, that you expect the Dodgers to win the championship right now. But things change again. Like, you know, we've seen this before. We've seen teams suddenly, like last year's this very series last year, the Phillies were in this exact spot against Arizona. Same spot, up 3-1, blew it. Once you get the momentum rolling in the opposite direction, you create some fear. And because right now, this is the other thing, the Mets have played so loosey-goosey, right? That's what everyone's talked about. There is literally no more pressure on the Mets, right? They can pull out all the same crap they've been saying for, you know, since that meeting in late May. Nobody expects us to win. At the beginning of the year, nobody expected us to win. 11 games under 500, nobody expects us to win. You know, down the stretch of the season, nobody expects us to win. Every time they've pulled it out, it's worked. Right now, the Mets, nobody expects you to win. Nobody. The series is over. The Dodgers are better. The Dodgers have kicked the crap out of you. Like, this series is over. Let's see how they respond, because now the pressure is firmly on the Dodgers. Not that they haven't always dealt with pressure having to win this season, but certainly now they're up 3-1. You lose another game, come back home. Lindor hits a leadoff home run in game 6. You never know. Chris in Astoria. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, Chris? How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. I want to talk about the Mets. That guy stole some of my thunder, but a couple things. Like, I was more upset with the loss in game 3 because I thought we had the momentum winning game 2, coming back home. Our pitching matchup was better, I guess, technically, for game 3. So last night, I was more upset. But tonight, when I watched the Dodgers, I said, oh, they're just better. I know they didn't budge like at all during the course of the game. He was. You know, a couple inches outside, they were not swinging. I'm like, they're just a better team. The big thing here is we had to get to their starters. We have to get to their starters early, and we're just not doing it. We're not doing it at all. And I mean, it's I don't want to say it's over, but like, this team is disciplined at the plate too. I've never seen a team that in my recent memory that's like this. Also, I think they got to put pressure on the pitcher. Like, I wanted them to steal more. Never really stolen any bases.
Yeah.
Iglesias tonight had a single in the second, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was 2 outs, and I wanted him to go on Yamamoto. So I thought maybe we could put some pressure on Yamamoto.
Yeah.
To, like, get the crowd involved. But they're not doing that at all. They're very stationary.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you got to come out and be uber aggressive in this game. I do. I think in game 5 here, you have to come out, and thank you for the call, Chris. You have to come out and be uber aggressive. I would look to steal bases. I would look to hit and run. I would look to do a lot. Like, you have to put pressure on this team. You have to figure out a way to get some runs across. You have to get the lead in this game. It's imperative that the Mets get the lead in this game. Imperative. They have got to figure out a way to get the lead. Because playing from behind, it's very difficult to catch this team. Their bullpen's been really good, and they keep tacking on runs. And if they knock Peterson out early, the Mets' bullpen's not in a position to shut them down. Like that, they're going to need both Peterson to go deep into this game and the offense to score a ton of runs. But it, because if they get like two runs on Peterson early in this game and the Mets are playing catch up again and they get all the confidence and start tacking on and you have to be quick because it's an elimination game, so Mendoza's going to have to be quick with his hook for Peterson. I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're going that this Dodger team won't be confident. Any pitcher you bring at this point out of the bullpen, they're going to be confident. So you got to jump out to a lead and make them nervous and you know, make them catch play catch up. Because if they get out front, that's what you've seen these couple games. They get out front, and I know that they got out to the 1-0 lead and then Vientos tied it up, but they got out early a couple innings later. Like, they get out front in a lead, they are excellent attacking on runs. They have done it this entire series. They tack on runs. You have got to jump out and get the lead if you're the Mets. Ken in the Bronx. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, C-Mac. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Let me tell you something. I tried to reach out to talk to you and never get through. This time I get through. So I'm so happy.
Okay, good.
I like a show. You do a good show. You learn from the best anyway, so I don't expect nothing better. I don't expect nothing less. You learn from the best. Anyway, with this Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. Yes.
Beside Lindor, who they have could compete with the Dodgers? The Mets.
Well, Vientos right now is competing with the Dodgers.
Nah, let me say this. No, you know, I'm saying this on my heart. I can't stand the Mets. They are garbage. I'm so happy they're getting their ass kicked. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. They are garbage, please. Okay.
You got it, Ken. They're not garbage. They're getting their ass kicked, that's for sure, but they're not garbage. They've gotten here. They're in the NLCS. They were 11 games under 500. They've had the best record in Major League Baseball since the end of May. Like, they just kicked the crap out of Philadelphia. They've gone cold with the bats. They've missed opportunity after opportunity. I mean, plain and simple. There's really nothing else to say. Like, again, I wish I had some real creative things to say about this game. And if you want to call with a certain situation, we could break it down if you want. But, like, there isn't a lot of meaningful things to say other than they can't stop what's going on right now. They can't stop this team. They give up the home run to lead off the game, which set a tone. Even though they bounced back with Vientos, it set the tone that they weren't going to be able to get out Ohtani. Mookie Betts with a two-run home run. You got Edmonds coming through with hits. They've got Kiki Hernandez hits a home run the other day. Like, they're just pulling away and beating the crap out of you. It's a very familiar formula. They jump out to a lead. The Mets don't come through with the big hits when they have the couple of opportunities in a game. And then the Dodgers keep on adding on runs as the night goes on. Like, that's, and the bullpen, Maton and Buto and whoever else they throw out there, Tylor McGill, like, it doesn't matter. They're giving up runs. And Max Muncy's getting on base every single at-bat. Mookie Betts has four hits in this game. They're jumping out to a lead. Mets are blowing their opportunities. Dodgers continue to tack on as the night goes on. That's exactly what's happened back-to-back nights. That's exactly what's happened. Like, we could talk about each. Really, it's the bases loaded. It's the strikeout from Iglesias. It's the Winker almost home run. Like, those are the moments. That's where they had their opportunities and they didn't come through. And the Dodgers keep on pounding. And you get to watch Ohtani run the bases in three different times as Smoltz talks about how it doesn't look like he's running fast, but he's really running fast. Like, that's what you got. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning. How are you?
Could be better. You know, that was a gut punch yesterday. That game should not to the end.
Yep.
But Weaver had a blip, and obviously Clay Holmes. You know, we were trusting him. Lately, but this blown save is this really took the wind out of my sails last night. I mean, I don't want this series getting close. You know, if they lose tonight, then I don't want to give Cleveland a fighting chance to win this series. They gotta win tonight. You know, Heel's gotta pitch good. I know I was looking at the numbers. He only went three innings against them and gave up three runs back in August. But we can't let that happen. The Yankees need to win the World Series this year. No ifs, ands, or buts.
No, listen, they've got to win this series. There's no doubt about that. We've said it before the series started. Now that they're up 2-0, we said it then. Now that they're still up 2-1, there is no doubt. They are much better than the Cleveland Guardians. They are much better. And even without playing the cleanest and crispest of games, they've managed to dominate the series. Even in this game last night, they are one strike away, up two runs from going up 3-0. Like they are even against the closer, there's nothing that Cleveland presents that the Yankees can't handle. There's nothing that they present that the Yankees can't handle. And they're throwing out another crappy pitcher tomorrow that the Yankees need to go out and score a bunch of runs off of. But, I mean, there's really nothing to say other than that. They've shown that their skill set is good enough to win the series. Now, do I need them to be better with hitting with runners in scoring position? Yeah. Do they have to be better on the base path and stop making like the Trevino getting picked off first is by far the worst. Because that's not even aggressiveness. That he's not even trying to take that base. That's just not freaking paying attention. And I'm sorry. I know everyone wants to put this on Boone. I'm not putting Trevino not paying. Like, what coach, like, needs to go over, don't get picked off with runners at the corners and one out in a playoff game? Like, have your wits about you on a playoff game. Like, this isn't like, you know, some of the typical baseball bad base running, you know, tagging up when you shouldn't, when it doesn't make sense to possibly get thrown out at third or to run with the ground ball in front of you. Or, like, this is just over-aggressive stuff. They try to double steal, and Jazz Chisholm took too far of a lead. Jose Trevino has his head up as you-know-what, standing on first base. God knows what he's doing. Anthony Volpe in this game tries to be aggressive because he thought that the play would be made at first. He's trying to get to third. They're trying to do too much. He got lucky that he knocked the ball out of Ramirez's hand. But they're trying to do too much because they haven't come through with runners in scoring position. So they want to do as much as they can. And sometimes you need in the postseason to slow down and just play sound baseball. And while they haven't, they've done enough to win every one of these games. I'm in an argument right now with someone on Twitter about, do they have that championship look? There's no such thing as a championship look. What's a championship look exactly? Get in the World Series, you'll have a championship look at it. You'll have a chance to win four games and win the championship. The Rangers blew the division down the stretch last year and their bullpen was awful. Did they have a championship look? They got to play the Arizona they got to play the Arizona Diamondbacks because they beat Philadelphia. I mean, we've seen teams left and right play poor baseball. Do they have that championship look? No, the Dodgers look like a force right now, kicking the crap out of the Mets. Anybody, yeah. It looks like the Yankees are going to have their hands full if they get to the World Series. No doubt. But they have played now seven games. They've won five of them. And they were a strike away from winning 6 out of 7. I don't care who they're playing. I don't care if they're playing the Oakland A's. I don't care if they're playing the Boston Red Sox. I don't care if they're playing, I can't say the Chicago White Sox because that's what you should do against the White Sox. But other than that, I don't care if they're playing the Pirates. I don't care who they're playing. You win. You put yourself in a position to win 6 out of 7. You're a strike away from winning 6 out of 7. You're playing good baseball. It's a playoff team. The Guardians had, I mean, we can talk about whether the Guardians are good or not. They won a playoff series. They won enough games to win this division. They've hit home runs this year. They've pitched well this year. Their bullpen's been the best in all of baseball this year. They've scored runs this year. They've led this division from wire to wire. Stop acting like they're freaking awful. They're just not as good as the Yankees. They're not awful. And they show that they have some resilience and some power last night. And the Yankees have to win this series. And we'll get to why maybe the one major positive of the Yankees going through what they went through last night, moving forward, and if they get to the Dodgers in the World Series. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Come back. Take your calls all the way to 5.